when we start with the simple things in the medical history, when we have some experience, we often find the diagnosis already simply by listening to our patients. This is not often done. There's almost no case of a tinnitus perception which needs to end in a dead-end situation.
Hey there, welcome to the Tinnitus Relief Podcast. If you've been told there's not much you can do for your tinnitus, I've got good news for you. I'm Dr. Ben Thompson, founder of Treble Health. I believe that there's always a way to better manage your tinnitus. I've teamed up with the world's best tinnitus doctors to create something special for you. It's called the Tinnitus Quiz, and it's a free assessment that I recommend for anyone with tinnitus. Why not give it a shot? It's free, and it's a great next step towards finding the relief you've been searching for. All you have to do is go to tinnitusquiz.com to get started today. Have hope. There is something you can do for your tinnitus. Now let's get started with today's episode. Finding the true root cause of tinnitus is so important. And today I'm joined by Dr. Michael Gollenhofen, ENT physician from Germany, someone who is very experienced with identifying the true root cause of tinnitus. Dr. Gollenhofen, what did you find in your research with tinnitus? And we're going to spend this podcast going deep into the actionable steps that someone can learn and take into their everyday life to get relief from tinnitus.
Well, as a matter of fact, it's very important to realize that there are three major subtypes that we need to understand in order to help our patients best. This is basically type one, the cochlear subtype. A sudden hearing loss causes tinnitus perception. Type two is the somatic subtype. Physical structures can cause tinnitus. And the third is the so-called central subtype, when something happens in the auditory brain. Let me explain a little bit more about those subtypes. First, of course, there is a thing called deafferentiation when the input drops from the inner ear to the auditory brain. Then acute tinnitus occurs. That's a very, a reflectory reaction, a symptom that is causing tinnitus. The somatic subtype is a little bit more difficult to understand because it's an asymmetry in the sensory input from the soma, from the body. And it is led to the brainstem of a human being where the auditory information comes in. They're both are mixed. And from the pathological input from the somatic side, a tinnitus occurs. And the central subtype is happening in the auditory brain. It's a processing disorder in the auditory function of the cortex, which is basically kind of enhancing and sensibilizing the brain for a sound that is actually always there. But under certain conditions, the filter, which is usually filtering away the sound, is deactivated. And all of a sudden, we start to hear a bilateral tinnitus perception.
Would you be able to share some examples of the three different subtypes and some clients, some patients who came to your clinic? And I know that some of the listeners here will be able to relate because these are rather common case studies. So please take it away.
The examples I want to give you, I think, outline that it is possible. We simply need to stick to the procedure of, first of all, finding the disorder. In a cochlear subtype, for example, a sudden hearing loss, a man that I met 3 days ago, he had a drop in inner ear function. He had an acute monolateral tinnitus perception. And we started a treatment, which included, in this case, steroids even, which is okay to do when there is a sudden cochlear dysfunction. And we were lucky the inner ear function recovered completely and the tinnitus was gone. So this is a very lucky case of treating a cochlear tinnitus subtype in a very quick manner. At the same time, the somatic subtype, of course, requires that we understand what kind of disorder is causing this specific tinnitus perception. Because in somatic disorders, it can be the teeth, it can be the TMJ function, the neck function. And I met an elderly lady with 65, and she had a dental prosthetic for years, and the dentist never really worked on it and adjusted it to a new situation. So she kind of got a compression in her TMJs. And this caused a somatic subtype of tinnitus without any kind of hearing loss. And we simply made her a new prosthetic, which kind of decompressed the TMJ. And within a week, she was free of any kind of tinnitus perception between those two subtypes. And the central subtype very often is a little bit more complicated. It takes more time simply because the cause of a central subtype tinnitus is an upregulated autonomic nervous system. It takes simply time to recover. And it was a man of 45 years. He even was into a treatment that involved his orthodontic situation, and he was kind of stressed out, had a very shallow sleep, and at the same time, a bilateral tinnitus perception. And we helped him to do the Feldenkrais method, you know, kind of treat physical treatments, and also this orthodontic treatment where he slowly recovered in his autonomic nervous system function. And I met him yesterday and asked, what about your tinnitus perception anyways? And he said, well, I was so stressed out with my tinnitus these years, but now I don't realize it anymore. I don't hear it. And I'm completely fine. So these are very typical histories that make transparent what you just said. Let's find out about the disorders and treat very specifically.
As a summary, having the proper tests to gather data, going to an audiologist, going to an ENT physician, and looking for obvious reasons for why the tinnitus is there. If the hearing test shows that you have some hearing loss, well, yes, make sure the hearing test is accurate. And in the United States, we typically use warble tones. It's a specific type of audiogram test so that even though the tones are in the high-pitched range, someone with high-pitched tinnitus will still be able to hear the tones in a reliable way. So you want to make sure that you have this test, the data. And then from there, if those local doctors do not specialize in tinnitus, then you have to have that perspective when you're talking to them, knowing that they are trying to help, but they may have a limited amount that they can help you. Or you can find a specialist like Tribal Health via telehealth. You can go to a major city close to your town and go to a university, hospital, clinic. These are all strategies which ultimately get you connected to experienced professionals like Dr. Goldenhofen or myself. When I first learned this from you, I shared it with my team of audiologists at Tribal Health, and we've been taking this framework and it's really been helping our patients. The main message is to have an effective treatment for tinnitus. We have to identify the true root cause and have a specific protocol, specific solution that is really based in what is the true cause of tinnitus. In your experience, what are the common mistakes that doctors, physicians, audiologists might make when trying to diagnose tinnitus?
That's the very important and difficult part. We want to diagnose our patients best in order to really find out what is the cause of their tinnitus perception. And as a matter of fact, it is difficult. We make a couple of mistakes simply because the matter, the situation is so complex. It's not easy to diagnose well all the different subtypes simply because they come from so many different fields. You know, we do not make so many mistakes in the cochlear subtype simply because we're ear, nose, and throat doctors. We are used to diagnose hearing disorders. And the only fault that we sometimes make is that we see some kind of drop in the hearing, in the audiogram, and we take this as an auditory dysfunction, as an inner ear lack of input. But as a matter of fact, when a tinnitus patient does a hearing test, it is sometimes difficult to find out, is it the test tone or is it my tinnitus tone? Okay. So in this frequency where I hear my tinnitus, I tend to press the button a little bit later, which basically creates some kind of fake hearing loss in my audiogram. So this is a fault that we often see in the cochlear subtype. In the somatic subtype, it's completely different. ENT physicians are not trained well in understanding physical disorders. in head and neck, and they're not well trained in dental disorders, orthodontic disorders. And these are all those disorders that are causing the somatic subtype. So it is, as a matter of fact, a lack of knowledge and a lack of training that cause the somatic subtype not to be diagnosed at all. So we try to treat it as if it was a cochlear subtype, which is a fault. And very similar to that in the central subtype, we're not really trained well in understanding the human psyche. And at the same time, we do not have very much time with our patients, which is important to really understand what happens inside a human being. So we often tend to react in a way that we kind of see our hearing tests. We cannot diagnose any auditory disorder. And then we tend to say, okay, I do not have much time here. There's little you can do. And so I'm finished with you. Okay, there's not either no one who can help you, or at least I'm not the one. And this is very detrimental to our patients. It is important to give a positive counseling in the way to say, there will be help. It's just not me. It's not an auditory disorder that is causing your tinnitus perception.
You're touching on this common pain point for many individuals with tinnitus, is that they go to their ENT doctor and audiologist expecting them to solve their problem, and often are disappointed. And the intention of the doctor is actually good, but the presentation of the information is often cold and dismissive, and it creates a future of anxiety and stress and worry and concern. And that leads to so many people here in our community. Let us know in the comment here on YouTube if this applies to you. If you went to a doctor and you actually left feeling worse than when you arrived because you weren't given a clear path forward of what to do, a protocol to follow, or a referral to a specialist who actually does work every day with tinnitus. On this subject, Dr. Gollenhofen, I want to now role play a bit. Imagine that I'm in your clinic, Dr. Gollenhofen, and I am describing my tinnitus. What are the kinds of questions that you would ask me so that you can better understand my tinnitus? And we'll role play this a bit so that eventually we'll get us to the point where we realize, okay, we have enough subjective information here that you can actually recommend the next steps for me and identify the likely subtype and the cause.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, the knowledge about a good way of diagnosing and treating tinnitus patients is a very rare resource at the moment. I need to say that ENT physicians, we do not really make a very good work with our patients simply because we lack the time to really care for them. And our knowledge, especially in the somatic subtype, is not really what it should be. At the same time, it is not so difficult. You know, when we start with the simple things in the medical history, when we have some experience, we often find the diagnosis already simply by listening to our patients. This is not often done, as a matter of fact. But when we simply ask, on which side are you hearing your tinnitus perception? Is it bilateral? Is it monolateral? What character does it have? Is it a high-pitched tone? Is it a hissing tone? Is it pulsating? Is it continuous? We understand so much when we simply hear what our patients are telling us. And then we ask questions like, how is your sleep? How is your work capability? How is your quality of life? Then we understand how much is the individual suffering from this situation. And then we keep on asking, is there a hearing loss? Is there no hearing loss? How was the onset? Were there accidents involved in the onset of the tinnitus? Were there surgery involved, dental treatments, other medical treatments? Are you taking any kind of medication? These are the important questions that need to be asked. And when we do this, and this is not a long time, we maybe need like 10 minutes, 5 or 10 minutes, and then put this information into our schedule of the subtypes. You know, we didn't talk about the two other subtypes that altogether make it up to 95% of a patient, which is Meniere's disease, not so often, And the role of medication in the onset of a tinnitus perception, especially psychodynamic medication or painkillers, you know. And when we ask those questions, we usually know in which direction to go.
For those of us listening here, how can we support our doctors? What information can we provide? How can we actually help you and help them make an accurate diagnosis with the subtype of tinnitus?
Well, first of all, it lies in the hands of the doctors. Of course, they need to have the experience and the expertise. But at the same time, when we simply describe very precisely how we perceive, how the onset happened, then we are a big help in order to help the doctors subtype our situation and find out about the root cause. And at the same time, it still is a rare resource. So any help that is given, your institution, Ben, that you communicate with tinnitus sufferers, that you try to make help available, is so important. Also, the fact that you're present on the social media, which are accessible from all over the world. And this is also my idea, that we make the expertise available in any country of the world, in any language. It is not so difficult nowadays. It was very difficult 10 or 15 years ago. But nowadays, I think your institution, my institution, can make a wonderful job in really making accessible this expertise to anyone in the world suffering from tinnitus and going this important path of, first of all, trying to find out the disorder behind the tinnitus perception and then finding a specific cure.
Our audiologists at Treble Health and you and your team and your clinical partners in Germany are following the system of identifying the subtypes and recommending an appropriate treatment based on the subtype. So first thing that comes to mind is, let's look at the data. What kind of objective information do we have? Most often we have a hearing test. If the hearing test shows some degree of hearing loss, well, that could be involved and could be part of a recommendation for a treatment. If we think that the tinnitus is partly cochlear based related to hearing loss, and maybe there's other factors as well, maybe there's parts of other subtypes involved. We have seen a lot of success with sound therapy treatment, addressing hearing loss, if that is applicable to the individual. And we look at that as a good foundational step, getting that in place. Once you have it set up, it's passive neuroplasticity. It's helping the patients, helping them retrain their brain over time. But all they have to do is have the sound therapy playing or wear their hearing devices or hearing aids. Then there's the active component, the active neuroplasticity piece of this, where cognitive behavioral therapy comes into play. Specific tools and exercises that can be taught to you and the individual can practice them. That takes work. That's hard. That's going to take some of your energy. But when you combine, in my experience, the passive approach of sound therapy and then the active approach of cognitive and behavioral techniques, that gives us a lot of the momentum that we need to actually drive this tinnitus down over time. I want to pass it to you now to discuss other elements like the medical treatments that can take these tools that I just provided and even accelerate the progress, or in some cases, the medical treatment itself is the only thing needed to dramatically change the tinnitus.
Absolutely. This is very important what you just said. There are little cases, only a few cases where you would not be able to help with an audio stimulative treatment. Okay. Of course, we always want to restore the hearing as good as we can. So this is the area of hearing aids. Of course there is. At the same time, this very important aspect that you just pointed out, that it needs active commitment to a treatment. We will not be able to change the function of the auditory system and the autonomic nervous system without being active in practicing, you know, meditative techniques, relaxation techniques, auditory techniques, and cognitive behavioral approaches. And this is so important, but at the same time, it's such a huge help to someone involved in the tinnitus situation that someone is telling, come on, we do something together. I can provide you with some help. you need to be committed and participate in the treatment. But what wonderful situation is that when we can really be assistant in the process? And the moment the individual realizes there is a process, there is a way to go, this changes so much and takes out the individual out of this gap of inactivity and helplessness. This makes the difference. And from the medical side, there is not so very much more to do. Of course, we have other tools of restoring a hearing, taking CIs, taking implantable hearing aids. Of course, there is. And we have medication like steroids and the acute type, cochlear subtype. And then there is the dental treatment, the orthodontic treatment, the orthopedic or osteopathic treatments, and the somatic subtype. This is important, yes. But the majority of patients will have such a huge profit already from the methods you offer with the hearing aids and with the auditory audiostimulative therapies and the cognitive behavioral approach. This is, as a matter of fact, very important. At the same time, I tried to establish what I try to teach with my diagnostic approach, not only in my personal counseling with my clients and patients, but I also tried to bring that into a digital form that anyone can use. Also, neurological doctors in the U.S., simply enhancing the probability of finding out the accurate diagnosis in a quick way, which is simply going these steps of understanding the disorder and then finding the right treatment behind it.
Dr. Gollenhofen, sometimes I really take a step back and think about all the people who eventually find you or find us at Treble Health, and they finally speak with someone who knows what they're going through. And for weeks, months, sometimes over a year, they've been hitting dead ends, roadblocks, but still holding on to that hope, that candle of optimism and hope here, that something has to help me because I can't really go on the way that this is. And both of our collective mission is to help those people. And many of them are listening right now. So, when we get feedback of, hey, these videos changed something for me, you gave me the perspective to get some things set up for me to move from a helpless place and a hopeless place to I'm taking small and consistent actions and I'm noticing improvements, or wow, that sound therapy is really helping me, or I didn't know about somatic tinnitus, and then I found out that I actually had it and I got a treatment and my life changed dramatically. Tell me stories.
I think this is also the wonderful part of our work, right? Our expertise is there, and it's the basis, it's the foundation for a deeper connection to human beings suffering from tinnitus. And I just come from a retreat that we had for a whole week with 12 tinnitus sufferers on the beach of Sardinia. And we had in a whole week enough time to really sit together and work it all out, the diagnosis, the options of treatment, the emotional side of it, and the feeling of helplessness. And to share this kind of feeling with others that feel the same, and at the same time have professionals in front of you where you can open up and kind of soften and find hope again by finding out what to do and how to practice the way which is to go. And these are wonderful moments that we share with our patients, right? And this is what you just said, finding a dead end, not knowing how to go on. And I think you and me, we know this is not necessary. There's almost no case of a tinnitus perception which needs to end in a dead end situation. There isn't. We can find the disorder or the disorders behind the tinnitus perception. We know how to go on a further way, which is helpful, which is restoring everything I need in life. And again, this is what makes my my work and also my life a little bit so beautiful, working with tinnitus patients, because it is so encouraging in my work to provide this kind of help, to hear, oh, wow, now I know where to go. I know what it is. And this is such a beautiful moment, working with a tinnitus patient. And at the same time, we know that sometimes things can be difficult. The subtypes very often overlap. You know, sometimes we even find the three most important subtypes all together. It's a cochlear decay. It's a central subtype, and there are somatic symptoms involved as well. So sometimes it is very difficult, but there's still hope. There's always a way out of the dead end situation.
Some of the biggest areas that people tend to have difficulty with are concentration during the day, falling asleep at night, managing the stress and anxiety waves that come, sound sensitivity, which happens in about a third of cases who have tinnitus, and sometimes hearing issues, not being able to hear clearly. And this is vital to get under control because, as we can tell, this affects our communication with the people we love and our work. This affects our mental health, our quality of life. So let this be clear that we are saying, these two professionals on this video, that tinnitus is a serious condition that matters. And there are resources out there, but you who's listening know that it matters because you're living this. So if anything, this video is designed to connect with you and validate the experience you're going through and also provide some actionable next steps for what you can do. With that in mind, Dr. Golenhofen has been working on a project called TinniCare, which he's going to explain now. And it's an option for you to consider how to evaluate the cause of your tinnitus and gather more information so that you can be better informed and take that next step.
It's about breathing. It's about finding new ways to change my posture, to work on my ideas, on my convictions, on with a cognitive approach. But there definitely is a way. But in the beginning, it is so important to be clear about the diagnosis. And this is why I created TinniCare, which is basically, first of all, a questionnaire, a test algorithm, which basically asks me about my symptoms. And at the end of this process, provides me with a preliminary diagnosis and analysis of what the disorder most likely will be that causes my tinnitus. And on my website, www.tinni-care.com, you can have this tinnitus test for free. It's of no charge. And you know what your disorder most likely will be. And from this, you can work with any kind of health provider. And if you want to do this, you can have my recommendations, my counseling, which is a second kind of service on top of this. But first of all, it's kind of a free offer to analyze the symptoms of tinnitus in order to go deeper into the understanding of the causing disorder.
And those links are below for anyone who's looking for those. You can find those. Here at Tribal Health, we feature specialists like Dr. Michael Golenhofen and the rest of our audiology team that work with Tribal Health. Our service is a telehealth consultation that allows you to speak one-on-one with an expert on our team. In fact, you could bring your TinniCare results to a free Tribal Health telehealth consultation. And that is a comprehensive start to your journey with tinnitus. If you'd like to schedule a telehealth consultation with Tribal Health, you can do so by calling the number on the screen or clicking the link below as well. Dr. Michael Golenhofen, I really appreciate you being here. Do you have any last words for our community?
It's the same to me, Ben. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I feel so warm inside, let me say that, to have someone across the Atlantic Ocean that I share my ideas, my visions with. And I think we can really make a change. We can really make a difference in caring for our patients. And I love to send my patients from the U.S. to your institution. And I think it's just a great way of working together. And I always enjoy working with you and talking to you. Thank you so much for having me, and I wish you all the success and luck in the future.
Thank you. I'm Ben Thompson, your host, audiologist, and the founder of Treble Health, where our mission is to bring you to the forefront of tinnitus care. I hope today's episode has empowered you with new insights and strategies for managing your tinnitus. Remember, the journey to relief starts with understanding your condition better, and our tinnitus quiz is a great first step. I created it with input from other leading tinnitus experts, and it's a resource I truly believe in for anyone dealing with tinnitus. Take the free assessment at tinnitusquiz.com to begin your path to relief. Until next time, keep working on improving your health.